And we have to stand uncomfortably close, sorry.
I'm just totally close.
Hi, welcome to the ID at Xbox Pre-PAX Open House. I'm here with the developers of Bunker. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi.
So tell us a little bit about what Bunker is.
So the Bunker is essentially, it's an interactive movie. It was filmed in an ex-secret nuclear bunker in Essex in the UK, which was built in the 1950s. And it was decommissioned in 1992 and is now a museum. And it was populated and is now, like I said, it's empty. And it's full of all of this kind of post-apocalyptic kind of stationery and machinery and computers and stuff. And we found this location and we just thought it was fascinating. It had this really unique atmosphere and this kind of... this kind of smell and kind of like it drew you in every way. And it kind of felt a little bit like the Overlook Hotel from The Shining, and we just were fascinated by it, and we wanted to tell a story about someone alone, like in this space, and that's the bunker, and that's where it came from.
And so, who is actually in the space? Who are we playing?
So you follow the story of John, and John was born on the day that the bombs fell and the day that the world ended. So, the opening prologue, you see these kind of government ministers rush down to this bunker, and you see John being born on the day that the world ends, and we join him 30 years later, and he's all alone with his mother, and his mother dies. Sorry, spoiler. But it's in the kind of opening bits, and probably everyone knows now. So, and we follow him in this very, very oppressive, sad existence, and this kind of routine which is keeping him alive. And whilst you're kind of going through this routine, something happens. Something breaks down, and something goes wrong, and you have to try and fix it. And whilst you're trying to fix it, and whilst you're trying to kind of, and whilst you're venturing into other areas in the bunker, you start to get these flashbacks. And the more you venture in and the more flashbacks you get, you start to reveal this deeper, darker secret as to why you're really there alone.
Very cool. Now, you guys are using video in such an interesting way here. What kind of inspired you to do that?
Well, it came from our first title, The Hunting, which was an experiment which my business partner, Alan, he's the director and writer, so he's the kind of creative powerhouse behind all of this. And he just had this idea where to make a movie which you could play as an app. Because his daughter was watching a kind of video when she was really little, and she tried to swipe to open a door, and he went, "Ooh, that'd be interesting," and it all spawned from that, basically.
Very cool.
And I met Alan. I helped him out as much as I could, kind of like producing The Hunting. I ended up being several zombies in this thing. It was all shot on an iPhone. You can still buy it now, and it still sells. And it was voted one of the scariest apps like ever. Like on every Halloween, there's a massive sales and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and people really liked it. And we really thought that we were onto something, but we wanted to do something slightly different. We wanted to really play around with emotional performance of an actor, like more than anything else, we wanted to tell a better story, and that's kind of why the bunker exists.
Very cool. And now it's just really the two of you still primarily making the game and in the studio, right?
Well, our studio is my kitchen and Alan's shed. Like, that's it. So we've had to hire in lots of help and partner with people and kind of really, we've exhausted every favour in the world ever. We cannot, like, possibly, no one will ever do us a favour ever again, because they really shouldn't. We've abused them kind of more. So we've had to partner with another studio, because I'm not a traditional developer, I'm a filmmaker. And they've had to kind of help us in kind of, you know, how to make a game. So we partnered with this studio, Wales Interactive, and they're co-producing and they're publishing our game for
fantastic.
Us. Fantastic. Well.
That's fantastic. Wales Interactive obviously has helped with so many ID at Xbox games and are such a great developer in this space. So
We think they're good.
Yeah. So now, what has some of the biggest challenges been, especially as a two-man studio? You guys are using so much film in this way. Like, what are some of those biggest challenges when you, because you guys are actually like like about to go into certification, right? So you guys are at that end game. So looking back, what were some of the biggest challenges?
It's all the small stuff that you don't notice. All the small stuff that you'll never realize took months to do. The biggest challenge was asking a 3D engine, Unity, to load lots of massive video files simultaneously, and you never ever see a join or anything like that. So those were the biggest challenges, because no one's really done that before. So it's not like you can Google it and say, kind of like, how do you do that? there was no forum. There's no one saying, hey, I did this and it worked really well. Or, you know, you don't know what file works best. You don't know what, you don't know there's all these little extra compression rates which happen in the engines. And it's things like that. So it's just trial and error more than anything else. And I think just having a bit of patience really, really helps. But no, all the small stuff, the small, tiny interactions. There's one in particular, which is a video, which is a tape player. And this tape player, you have this looped video footage, which it's just a tape on its own. And at any point, you can click to press play, and a finger comes in and presses play. So that video is waiting to load at any point. It's there, ready to go.
Wow.
And it doesn't matter at any time in this bit of video, that's fine. And that's okay when the tape isn't moving.
Yeah.
But when the tape is moving and you have another video to try and stop it, so another finger's coming to stop at any point, that was unbelievably challenging. It's such a simple thing, but it took months.
Yeah.
And maybe half the people won't ever play that tape, but like that's the most challenging
thing.
So
that is the lesson. You all better go push and play the tape, or there will be some major disappointment going on. Well, congratulations, you guys are almost out. We're so excited to have your game released. So congrats, and have a fantastic rest of PAX.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We're here with Snowcastle Games, and the game Earthlock Festival of Magic actually just came out today. Congrats, guys, on releasing that. Very exciting.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about the game.
So Earthlock Festival of Magic, it's been a passion project for about 4 years, where we wanted to tie in a lot of childhood favorites, and that inspired us to actually get into the game industry. And so we wanted to make games that were things we wanted to play ourselves and basically create our dream job. And the result is Earthlock.
Very cool.
A turn-based RPG set in a magical world, just like all of them. You set off as a desert scavenger, Aemon, who finds a mystical artifact that somehow a lot of people are showing a weird interest in. And as he's venturing off to try and sell the artifact to make some money, because that's how he makes his money, he's introduced to the most peculiar creatures ever, this little hog bunny, who tempts him on an adventure, and Aemon can't help but resist it. And through that temptation, he's drawn into this huge adventure that he had no idea about, and he hopes to unlock the histories of the planet, which is pretty unique because it stopped spinning thousands of years ago and no one knows why.
Oh, cool.
So there's a lot of mystery in there, and as the game progresses, you really develop the story and kind of want to know more about this beautiful world of Umbra.
Very cool. Now, you guys have actually taken this beautiful world and actually put it into this absolutely beautiful comic book. So what really inspired you guys to do a comic book to go with the game launch?
Well, our writer, Magnus, he's actually originally as a comic book writer. So for him transitioning into writing the screenplay for video games, it was a fun way to him to transition into it. And so this kind of allowed him to be a bit more creative opposed to just doing the gameplay.
Yeah.
So I think this was a bit of a passion thing for him and how we can really develop the Earthlock world.
Very cool. I think today, in today's market, you know, obviously as game developers, it's so important that we engage our social audiences and the YouTubers and all that kind of stuff. And I think the fact that you guys have taken it and done a comic book with it is such a fantastic way to really get people into your world. So is this kind of the next adventure, or is this kind of a prequel?
So this is a prequel. Now you see Aemon. He's the desert scavenger I was talking about. So this is a prequel to before he was introduced to that character. So he's in his hometown of Xavier, adventuring on. And so it introduces him as well as Ive, which is another character you're introduced.
Very cool.
Ive.
Oh, very cool.
So yeah, prequels. And we do plan on creating more versions of the comic book. So this is not just a one-time thing. We will continue to expand, whether it's more prequels or more sequels.
Very cool.
Open to discussion.
Now, the game launched today. It's yes. part of the Games with Gold program, so anyone who's a Gold member can actually go download it free.
Yeah, so they have a month.
Very cool. That's pretty exciting. Yeah. So thank you guys so much. What was the most difficult challenge of kind of like making the game? Can you put...
I think the most difficult challenge, and it's probably the same with a lot of game developing studios, is tying in artistic minds with creative minds, with engineers, and trying to bring it together to create one product.
Yeah.
And I think we really did that with Earthlock Festival of Magic.
Very cool. Well, I recommend that all of you go out and download the game right now, because you can get it for free if you're an Xbox Live Gold member. And you guys, congrats on the launch, and have
Thank
a great
you.
Rest of the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm here with Kenny Roy, with the creator behind iHope. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, of course.
So I absolutely love this game. Tell everyone a little bit about what iHope is.
Okay, so iHope is a 3D adventure game, and it tells the story of this girl named Hope who lives on a magical floating island. And one day that island is attacked by a creature called Cancer. And in order to defeat it, her grandfather sends her to these five floating islands, and where she has to collect the weapons that she needs to defeat cancer. And those weapons are knowledge, strength, courage, support, and most importantly, hope. We started it this year, and we're looking to get out April next year on Xbox One.
Very cool. Now, this is such a powerful concept, and I think the fact that you guys are doing this is so meaningful to so many people. So where did the concept for iHope come from, and why did you decide to turn it into a game?
Well, I've always believed that games are like the most powerful storytelling medium, and that the experiences that you have in a game can be real, meaningful experiences. And I've just been thinking, as I got into game development, how can I bring the most important message to the people that need it the most? And that message is hope, and the people who need it the most are obviously kids who are fighting for their lives in hospitals.
Very cool. And we actually had the chance to get to have some kids kind of earlier play the game.
Yeah.
And I think that it's so meaningful to hear what the children's hospitals and things are saying about how powerful this game can be to those kids. So I know you've been working with Child Life and talking with people about how to make this game, right?
Yeah. The obviously the support is just massive for this game already. Child Life is really happy to hear that a game like this is being made. A game that's specifically trying to be a therapeutic tool for children who have to cope with that extended hospital stay, because you don't really realize that even if a kid wins the battle against cancer, they might lose their childhood. And so there's a lot that we're trying to put in here, and Child Life and child psychologists, they've been really helpful and have done so much for us already, and we're looking forward to finishing the game and making it the best it can be.
Very cool. Now, I know that you guys are well on your way to making a successful game, but I know you just launched an Indiegogo campaign.
Right.
Because there's some extra things that you want to be able to put into the game. What are some of those?
Right, so the game is already going to look beautiful, it's going to sound beautiful, it's going to play great. But what we'd like to do is integrate some of the things that child life specialists are telling us would be really good to get in there. Something like adaptive difficulty levels, even cooperative multiplayer, so that two kids can play it together, because games are also a huge social tool for children in hospitals. So for all those things, this is a labor of love, and it's a passion project for us, but we can only do so much on our own with no budget. So we launched an Indiegogo. It's igg.me/@@iHopeGame. And if you just go to that link, you can see what we're trying to do. All the stretch goals are listed there, so what we want to accomplish with a bigger budget. But we're super behind the game already, and we want it to be the best it can be, and that's what this is all about.
And now you guys are even taking a step further. You guys have actually decided to donate all of your studio profits from the game.
Right.
To a charity.
That was
correct?
The first thing we decided. This can't really be something that feels like what it's supposed to if we're making bank on the back of it. So we decided right up front, we picked Game Changer Charity, and Game Changer is going to receive 100% of the profit, not like a portion, all of it. It's for them.
Very cool. It's so exciting that you guys are doing this. Thank you so much. Honored at Xbox to have you guys be a part of the program.
No, thank you. It's been great working with you guys.
Yeah, so thanks so much, and make sure to go check out their Indiegogo campaign and make sure to help support iHope. Welcome to Pre-PAX here for ID at Xbox. I am joined by the man, the legend, Larry, also known as Major Nelson. Thanks so much for joining us.
Katie, it's always good to see you.
Good to see you,
What
too.
A great event this is.
I know. So what do you think about it?
I think it's great. I mean, I love this event. We've been doing this event for a few years. It's I'm sure you told everybody, in case I'll recap, right before PAX, which is the big gaming convention in Seattle in the end of August, beginning of September. We open up the doors to part of the campus here, and we invite our developers to come down and set up. They set up inside, and then we invite the public in and basically say, "You like games? You make games? Come on in!"
Yeah.
Right?
It's a perfect
blend, because we have people from around the world coming to PAX here in Seattle, and we're just a quick quick bus ride over the water to the Seattle.
And a free bus ride at that.
And a free bus ride.
We even give them a free bus ride.
So there's no reason that you shouldn't be here.
Exactly.
But we invite people out here onto our campus. This is actually the second Xbox campus, as you know,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah,
this is our new home.
Started in Millennium.
Newer home, but
yes.
This is where it all happens.
Yeah.
Right? Games are made and stuff, and it's really kind of cool here. So I'm really excited about
that. One of the things I love from the ID standpoint, too, is that, I don't know if you even know this, but to choose which games are actually going to be here, we actually put an invite out to every single developer in the program with an approved game.
Yep.
And they all can apply to have their game shown here.
Yeah.
And then we actually sit and watch hundreds of videos.
Wow.
And then actually go through like over 100 builds to actually decide the games that are going to be shown here today. So it gives every single developer in the program an equal opportunity to get their games shown.
And that's really important. I mean, the fact that certainly, with Xbox, you get an unbelievable variety of different games with ID at Xbox, but you guys have kind of gone through and said, okay, these are good enough to be shown, because they have to be at a certain point in the build as well, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
It's about making sure the build looks good and it plays good and it doesn't crash and all this stuff for game developers.
Exactly.
And this is actually sometimes, I know that in the past, I don't know about this time, this is sometimes the very first time that game developers will have the public get their hands on a game in a broad sense, right?
Yeah. We actually have a couple today. We're showing I Hope today, which is about... you're actually battling cancer within the video game.
Really?
And it's actually the first time.
One.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's actually the first time anyone's gotten to play it today. I think we have four or five first-time playables.
And that's really, that to me is really, really exciting. Because I said, developers are incredibly talented and gifted and creative and smart. And they're working on the game. But once you take that controller and you put it in someone else's hand to figure your game out, it just... Anything can happen.
Yeah. I hear one of my favorite stories is actually last year we featured the developers of The Whole Story, which is made by a group of young girls. And and they actually got to come and bring their game and show it here last year. They're actually just about to launch. And while they were playing, I was collecting feedback afterwards after the event, and they're like, "It was amazing. Like, I learned so many things I need to change." So I think it's developers getting people hands-on and hearing that fan feedback.
Yeah.
It's so inspiring, and it's also so constructive, right? Because you see people and you're like, "Oh, they're not quite getting the path that I thought they would get," and that kind of stuff.
And I think it's important to point out that this is such PAX, and what we do here is such a fan event.
Oh, definitely.
It's not like E3, which is a great event, but it's real industry focused.
Yeah.
This is about gamers playing games with game developers and just here to have fun, right? And learn about the game. I want to learn about your game. You want to learn what I like about your game, and where I'm going to tweak it, just like you said. It's a lot of fun.
Yep, absolutely fantastic. So you're going to be doing PAX the whole weekend?
Yeah, I've got a few days. I'll be doing some Gears of War stuff. I'll be
very
down on
cool.
the show floor, and of course I'll be hanging out with the ID at Xbox gang.
This
is just turning into a wonderful yearly ritual for me to come over here and see the great, the great developers that you and your team and the rest of the team, and Chris Charlton and the team brings in and has working on the Xbox platform. So I love seeing, it's different. You see the videos at E3, but when you get your hands on the controller or the mouse and keyboard to play it, different story.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us here tonight. Everybody, make sure, if you didn't come this year, make sure to come next year to the ID at Xbox pre-PAX open house.
Did you just announce that we're having it next year?
We always, of course, we're always going to have it.
Okay. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks.